call Senate Resources Committee to order. Today is Saturday, October 31st, 2015. We're meeting here in Juneau, Alaska. Let the record reflect that the time is 8:58 a.m. Committee members present, Vice Chair Senator Costello, Senator Stoltz, Senator Stedman, Senator Coghill, and myself, Senator Giesel. I believe Senator Wielkowski will be joining us soon. Senator Machicki is off trick-or-treating today. He has an excused absence. So, in helping us out here today, our recording secretary, Ann Krekelberg, appropriately dressed for Halloween. Yeah. Thank you so much, Ann. And helping us on the audio is Betsy Dorn. I expect today a brief, expeditious hearing, brevity being the soul of wit, and less is more. We will begin with our one purpose of meeting today, and that is Senate Joint Resolution 301. This is an expression of the will of our body in the context of the oil and gas development issue, which is the topic of our special session call today. It comes as no surprise that a large part of the long-term success of AKLNG is the discovery of more gas reserves, and of course one of those areas we hoped to see more gas in is the offshore. Senator Stoltz has introduced a resolution that we're hearing today. So Senator Stoltz, would you like to introduce the resolution, please? Welcome.
And Chair?
Yes, Senator Coghill.
Can we bring the CS up first, or do you want to wait until he goes through the process?
We do have a CS. Yes, we can certainly do that. Senator Costello.
Madam Chair, I move CS for Senate Joint Resolution 301, version 29-LS1164/hotel, before the committee as the working document.
Thank you. I will object for purposes of discussion. Senator Stoltz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It'll be very brief. It's three minor changes. They're both technical and substantive, and that we want to make sure there's clarity in our message. On page 1, line 12, there's new language added regarding the Arctic OCS resource potential in relation to long-term success, which you just articulated just a moment ago. On page 3, line 15, language changed to make it more inclusive of all local governments in the Arctic region, instead of just North Slope Port Authority. As we were preparing this, we noticed oversights, and I think this is more inclusive language change. And page 4 on line 1, development. I think it's a given, but we always assert what we do, and that's work to develop our resources responsibly, but it's certainly, I guess it's belt and suspenders on that, and it never hurts to clarify what we actually do for the outside audience. And that's the crux of the changes recommended that were brought in by folks who read the original version and made those suggestions, which I certainly appreciated and welcomed.
Very good. Any questions? All right, seeing none, I will remove my objection. Any further objections? Seeing none, version H then is adopted as a new working document. Senator Stoltz, I certainly appreciate you including on members' desks this article from the Petroleum News dated October 25th, 2015, about the lease sale cancellation the Department of Interior undertook, and so that's good supporting information. Good. Committee members, no further comments. Senator Costello.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Stoltz, my question is just related to the new version about removal of the North Slope Port Authority and replacing it with all affected local governments. If you could just perhaps explain a little bit more, was there is that just simply to broaden the effect of that, or
Senator Costello, we were in the House through the chair. It was to be more inclusive, and it was actually recommended by folks from the North Slope Borough, who certainly this gave them a recognized seat in the discussion in reference, but they felt that it should recognize all of the Arctic communities, which I I appreciated their inclusiveness of all the communities with potential ports, all the way from Nome, all the way up to ports and access issues and all the Arctic communities. So I thought more inclusiveness was a good thing.
Very good. Any further questions? In that case, I'll open public testimony. I see on the line Kara Moriarty from the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. Ms. Moriarty, you wish to testify this morning. Welcome.
Yes. Good morning, Senator Giesel and the rest of the Senate Resources Committee. This is Kara Moriarty with the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very loud and clear. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. I'll keep this brief. I just wanted to go officially on record that AOGA, the Alaska Oil and Gas Association, as the professional trade association for the industry, very much appreciate Senator Stoltz for introducing the resolution as well as for the committee and the Senate body for taking it up. The resolution obviously talks a lot about the mega potential for our outer continental shelf resources, not only the oil, but the mega gas potential. I think it, you know, we refer to the OCS generally, the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas combined having average reserves of about 27 billion barrels of oil and 132 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. So as we were all discussing, Alaska LNG project just recognized that there is another mega potential resource for gas in the offshore. But I do think that just because Shell did not have a commercial discovery this past summer from the one well that they were allowed to drill doesn't mean that there's not interest in the offshore, and it doesn't mean that that 27 billion barrels and 130 trillion cubic feet are not there. They just need the opportunity to have the opportunity to explore more. And the first step in that, of course, is the leasing program. So, you know, we really were disappointed that the administration decided to cancel the two lease sales for 2016 and 2017. It's actually where the state, once again, is better than the federal government in that the state has a very predictable area-wide state leasing program and schedule because the companies rely on that predictability and consistency for their planning. And so we would only hope we could have the same from the federal government, and as of right now we don't have that. So we appreciate the legislature officially going on record saying that they would like the administration to reconsider the cancellation of those resales, because that resource is important not only for us as Alaskans, but to supply America's energy needs for the future. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, but again, I do appreciate the Senator and the committee, and thank you for the time this morning.
Thank you, Ms. Moriarty. Any questions from committee members for Kara Moriarty? All right, seeing none. I don't see anyone else online who wishes to testify. Is there anyone in the room that wishes to testify on this legislation? Yes, welcome. Welcome, Barbara. If you would introduce yourself, please.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Barbara Huff-Teknis. I'm the Director of Governmental Legislative Relations for Teamsters Local 959. And I would like to also go on record in support on behalf of Teamsters Local 959, thanking Senator Stoltz and members of the committee this morning for hearing the bill. My comments are going to be very brief. I think earlier comments about the size of that outer shelf out there is huge. From our perspective, we're looking at probably an estimated 54,000 additional jobs across the country as this continues to explore. From the Teamsters' perspective, we've for 40-some years enjoyed a working relationship with the oil and gas companies here in Alaska. We hope to see continued growth in that field as well. But also, I think, looking at some of those communities within the rural areas. The more we believe, the more development in those outer areas, probably the more growth for the communities, better jobs, better marketing opportunities out there and so on and so forth. Anyway, I want to thank the committee, and if you have any questions, I'd be more than pleased to ask what I can.
Thank you, Barbara. Any comments or questions from committee members? I'll just comment to tag on to what you said. As someone that's worked in both Wainwright and Point Lay, which are pretty darn close to where that offshore development would be, I know what those jobs would mean for those communities. That economic development would be huge. Great opportunity. Senator Stedman.
I think, Madam Chair, maybe when we're done here, we can jump back to Karen Mariarty.
I believe we could, yes. Any other questions for Ms. Tugnes? Seeing none, thank you very much, Barbara. Senator Stoltz, you had a question for Karen Mariarty. Karen, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Great. Senator Stedman. Oh, pardon me. Senator Stedman, I'm so sorry.
We're with Quinn separating the vote.
Sorry.
I think it'd be important when we talk about this this area of the state, and then we look at the additional regulations that are layered on above Gulf of Mexico and the cost above the Gulf of Mexico permits, if possible, if she had the, off the top of her head, the rough cost that Shell expensed for one well, because it's my understanding this is the most expensive well ever drilled on the planet.
Great.
Senator Stedman, through the chair, I do have that. Since they purchased the leases in 2008, they have spent close to $7 billion they were able to complete one well. So, yes, it is by far the most expensive well ever drilled when you tally all those costs together.
Very good. Follow-up, Senator Stedman.
The point I'm trying to bring up in support of this resolution is that one of the ways, if you want to hinder economic development, is drive the regulatory costs so high it puts it out of economic range to be successful. And in my opinion, I think that is part of the game plan for some of the groups that don't want the Arctic developed, to push that cost up, and hopefully Shell will do some cost analysis and be able to come forward in the future and show us a comparative of what it would cost for permits in the Gulf of Mexico relative to the Arctic. And hopefully then we can assist in that arena to try to get our area of the country competitive. And I'm not saying that we drop our environmental controls. I'm just saying we don't put the hurdles so high you can never get development of this basin. My concern in this area is if we don't move forward with the Chukchi and the Buford, that in the event that there's an issue, an environmental issue based off of Siberia or Norway or Northern Canada, it's going to be in our backyard and we won't have any facilities up there to respond. I also understand that through these cancellations, the port by NOM has been put on hold, the port development, so we won't even have this strategic infrastructure to house a response team. And I think it puts the state of Alaska in jeopardy. It'd be, I think, a risk that most Alaskans would not want to face, that we have a major issue in the Arctic and we have a response system sitting in the Gulf of Mexico. I don't think that's prudent. So I think we need to, you know, kind of keep that in mind as we go forward, that our neighbors are going to develop their offshore with or without us. And China, who's not an Arctic boarding nation, most likely will be north of our shores in that little pie area that's open. And I have much more confidence in the American technology and regulatory environment than I do China's.
Well said, Senator Stoltz. Senator Stedman. See, I gotta move the two S's apart here. Thank you, Senator Stedman. That was well said. And yes, Senator Costello.
Thank you. And my question is also for Ms. Mariarty. Thank you for calling in today. I really appreciate your diligence in following these issues. I'm curious, Kara, if the recent action by the federal government will affect our delegation in D.C., their efforts for the offshore revenue sharing legislation. Will that stall those efforts or give us less of a voice or urgency as far as that issue, or how does it affect that issue?
Thank you, Senator Costello, through the chair. I don't know how it will impact the congressional delegation's efforts for revenue sharing. I can tell you that I have had a conversation with Senator Murkowski's staff on the Resources Committee about that. They are very much going to continue to push ahead with that, because even though these lease sales are canceled for 16 and 17, we are hopeful that either this administration or the next administration will get back on track with these lease sales, and that revenue sharing is a very important component for the local residents of Alaska who live closest to that development in the Northwest Arctic and North Slope Borough. And so I know that the delegation is very much committed in moving forward with that issue.
Thank you.
Very good. Further questions for anyone who has testified or Senator Stoltz, who is presenting the resolution? All right, seeing none, is there anyone else wishing to offer public testimony on this resolution? Seeing no one, I will close a public testimony. Any further committee discussion?
Madam Chair.
All right. Seeing none, Senator Stoltz.
I don't want to take a lot of time, but I think there's probably just a few issues just for the record, since this is the only committee hearing, and why, so the public understands why we're dealing with this resolution in special in our third special session. One is it's a relevant topic. A resolution is a letter. It's not a piece of substantive legislation. I believe it's within the ability of us as a legislative body to act. And it's definitely relevant. Governor Walker has, during his reaction, I sure appreciate his forceful reaction about as noted in the committee testimony through the Journal of Commerce article about its foreclosing economic opportunities for Alaska. And it's relevant to our discussions on the LNG project. The Walker gas team has identified OCS gas, in addition to oil, for keeping the Trans-Alaska pipeline at a healthier flow, a sustainable flow, just to meet the physics and the economics of keeping the pipeline open. Gas has been identified to step in from the Outer Continental Shelf to supplant Point Thompson when those supplies dwindle, if everything goes as we hope during special session here, and then onward. So it's very relevant that we make a statement not to foreclose an opportunity for Alaskans and the nation to benefit from these gas reserves, and the timeliness it's really fortuitous that it's been a couple of weeks since the decision was rendered. The hammer came down from D.C. If we wait till the regular session to send this letter of concern and opposition, it could be as even under the most expedited, it's third or fourth week of January of next calendar year before we can put anything of our concerns on the record in a substantive fashion. So it's timely. I think it's within our rights and responsibilities as a legislative body, and I suspect the governor, well, he should embrace this message, because he has certainly been unequivocal in his concern about the federal government's action. I know he's communicated concerns about the OCS directly to the president in private conversations, as he's relayed to us. So he shares our concerns, and I expect him that he would endorse this message and certainly put his imprimatur on it as well, with a lot of enthusiasm, because it certainly far from distracting from the special session, I think it enhances the special session. We're going to be spending, by the time we're done here, a pretty short time, but with some good information. Senator Stedman, you took away the need for me to talk about the regulatory problems and concerns, and that would have been part of my discussion. But I think it's timely, and I think for us not to take this opportunity and wait many more months, to put our official seal of deep concern on this issue, I think we'd be missing an incredible opportunity, and it's well within with our rights, and I think it's our duty to make sure Alaskans know that we're equally concerned about this issue. So thank you for the opportunity. Bringing this up so quickly, I really appreciate. Thank you.
Well, Senator Stoltz, I think I speak for the whole committee. We appreciate you bringing this forward. It is, as you point out, timely and relevant. So we appreciate it very much. I note that there is a zero fiscal note, which you have efficiently included with the bill or the resolution, so thank you. So, Senator Costello, a motion.
Madam Chair, I move CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 301 from committee with individual committee recommendations and accompanying zero fiscal note.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the resolution will pass from this committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note. I want to note, by the way, that Senator Wadakowski is excused for this meeting due to a previous engagement. So that it concludes our meeting today. Thank you very much, everyone, for being here. The meeting will be adjourned. The time is 9:19 a.m. Thank you.